Welcome to the Sixers Mania Podcast. I'm your host, Will Coffrin, joining me once again, now that the All-Star break's here, Justin Maltz. Maltz, how are you doing?
Let me just say, we are so back. Ricky Council is the best player in the NBA. That should be the title of this podcast. But now we're back and I'm feeling good. Can't complain.
Yeah. Besides the overwhelmingly negative thing of Joel Embiid being injured, which obviously looms over everything, fairly positive vibes in Sixers land. I mean, the Cavs win was really good, even though they almost blew it.
Yeah.
They were competitive with the Heat. Now I know the Heat were missing Jimmy Butler, but it was still competitive. If campaign wasn't a brick house, they probably win that. Just some other nice performances. Like, as you mentioned, Ricky Council might be a legitimate rotation player. So I guess we'll just talk about that right now. So obviously, Council really has been getting to the line, kind of doing what his calling card in college was, which was driving to the rim, finishing. Like, he's got legit NBA touch around the rim. So what have been your biggest takeaways from Ricky Council's recent games? Of course, scoring the Wizards game probably being the highlight.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think the biggest thing that shocked me is it was just his energy too. Like, it's one of those things where he's relentless. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest difference that I've seen between him and some of the other like young guys that we have that come in the rotation. And like, he was nonstop, his motor and the way that he drives, and he had some impressive finishes. I'm not gonna lie. And a lot of it was off the backboard. I feel like
for whatever reason,
he kind of throws it up and it's like one of those where like, hey, it almost looks like he's playing horse out there, but he really, I mean, relentless, big time motor. And I mean, he said it in the post game too, when they interviewed him, like, hey, I'm a dog. Like, he just has that mentality. Kind of reminds me, not the play style, but he has that Pat Bev mentality in a way. Offensively though, not the skills, not the actual play set, which is a lot different there, but just, you know, in terms of that motor, it's nice to see from a guy that is trying to make his way in the league. I mean, a guy like him to have what he's doing in the past couple of games and really taking advantage of his opportunity, right? There's guys down the rotation. Clearly we're all banged up, and you go all the way to the bottom of the bench with Ricky Council being one of the last guys there, and he's made a name for himself, at least in these past couple of games, and maybe in the rotation.
Yeah, we'll see once Batum comes back. Of course, Covington we're not really sure on, but I think it's an interesting discussion if both are healthy, and just, you know, if everyone's healthy, like, what's the rotation looking like? We still have yet to see it with Lowry, and Melton's been out forever, so maybe that mitigate some of it. But yeah, I mean, the new additions, which we'll get to in just a moment here, but the new additions don't really have the playbook, so Nurse has relied heavily upon him. But it was interesting. I know there are different positions that Nurse is relying on Council, but not Turk Quavion Smith at all, and I do think it's understandable why, given his relentlessness, something that the team doesn't have. Though I could argue Turk has that as well, but you could maybe say campaign has more skills that Turk has. But go ahead.
No, I was gonna agree. I think Turk is, not to say that, I mean, the confidence level is one thing, just eye test, obviously I'm not there every day, but just to see how Ricky Council has kind of took advantage of his opportunity out there versus Turk, who's been fine. He's had his moments, absolutely really really good shooter, but still, I don't want to say looks uneasy or lost out there. But campaign is a guy, like you said, that has a similar skill set that is proven in this league to at least what he's capable of. And I'd rather see him out there than Turk at this point.
It's not really deciding between Council or whatever, but if you're saying like campaign, like what they do.
Yeah, I like campaign over him for sure. I do. I think campaign, I mean, he had a real, I was at the first game in person. He played fairly well. So yeah, I mean, campaign's showing me some things.
He was breakout yesterday though. But
he was.
It happens. Council, it's funny, you mentioned his, like, just the effort and how he makes himself really apparent on the court. I feel like he's, like, the opposite of Tobias Harris in that respect, where Council, I don't get mad that he doesn't shoot a ton of threes, and he's actually done a better job of hoisting them up despite not being a great shooter, but he's so relentless. Like, if you combined Ricky Council and Tobias Harris, you'd have a player that I would really like. However, Council might not just be talented enough, and then Tobias is has the wrong mentality, and you know, we've talked about it all the time. He's been awful. He's been absolutely invisible. So
yeah, it's funny to see. There's a lot of fans, which we've always never been really Tobias people in general, but there were fans that are Tobias people that are starting to, I don't say fully turn, but kind of be like, what does this guy do, right? Because he'll have the game where he kind of averages his typical 16 to 20 a game, right? Gets out there and, you know, puts up some empty stats and this and that, and then he has a game where he drops 35 and people are like, wait, Tobias could be the X factor, and then he goes back to Mr., you know, can't play right now, he's injured, he's just inconsistent, taking dumb shots, and then he gets the ball. My favorite is the one clip where Tyrese Maxey's tying his shoe, and Tobias goes down to post up, and he's just tying his shoe because he knows it's Toby time. He just
the
knows.
Most relatable Tyrese Maxey's ever been, to be honest.
Seriously, like, it's unreal, but it's so true, and it's just like, Tobias, man, I mean, great dude. They always say he's a great locker room guy, which, like, I'm not putting that. I think he probably is a good dude. He seems like a really nice guy. It's just unfortunate that his play style is, like we've said, not conducive to winning at all, especially on this team when Joel's healthy. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, we tend to agree on a lot of things. So I think it's important for you to know. Like, you talked about, obviously, you have the fan page there at Sixers Mania, but noting that.
Correct.
There are actually a lot of fans that aren't as negative about Tobias as we are. And I feel like since you and I talk a lot, Sam and I talk a lot, like we are more negative towards Tobias. So it is interesting to note that there are Tobias people out there. I'm not sure. They might have stopped listening to the podcast several episodes ago, if that is the case, because we're pretty negative towards them every time. But yeah, no, there are Tobias people out there, and he's just been awful, which is crazy because he made it past the trade deadline, so he's here for the entirety of that deal, which is a miracle.
Unreal, man.
You would think there might have been some weight lifted off those shoulders knowing that he's going to stay here for the remainder of the year.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think the part of the reason that there's so many Tobias fans, well, number one, I think name association's big in the NBA. Like, there's a lot that saw Tobias, and I don't want to call people casuals and this and that. They might not watch
every
single
I do think it's a more
game,
casual fan, to be honest. I'm not saying everyone is, but just
I think the fans that watch In-N-Out and really, really enjoy watching and watch every single game, you know, start to finish for the most part, see that, okay, Tobias is just not, objectively, basketball-wise, he's not a great fit. The moves that he does and the way he plays is not a great fit on the Sixers. He has some good games. If you just look at the box score for the most part, okay, cool. You know, he's a solid player. Obviously, we know his contract, he's well overpaid. But even just watching him as a player and his play style, it just doesn't fit. And I think a lot of fans that don't watch every game are like, oh, it's Tobias Harris. He's a decent player in the NBA. Cool. Next, right? It's one of those.
His stats are pretty much worse across the board, but I think Kelly Oubre is a better player. And in the recent games, he's been kind of relentlessly going to the rim. Doesn't really pass all that much, but he's been getting fouled all the time, and he has the confidence, and he lets it fly. So I don't know. I just think what Oubre provides is honestly a little bit better. He's definitely turned it around. He had a really rough stretch post-injury. I hope he still might be a little out of control because he's starting. So I hope to see him transitioning back into a role if and when Joel Embiid comes back. So that was another observation I had in terms of the normal guys. But after that, we can talk about the new addition. I know you said mostly agree, but I don't know if you have any other Oubre thoughts before we talk about the new guys.
No, Oubre fan big time. I mean, has one of the best deals in the NBA, if not the best. I mean, just how affordable he is and what we got him for. Love it. Yeah, Rhino for 1 year. But yeah, I mean, that rental is it's big time. And I like the way he plays. And I mean, what was he averaging 20 last year on the Hornets, right? So, I mean, obviously we know he's a very good role player in this league, in my opinion. So, yeah, great fit.
Yep. I can still see where the problems lie. And I know it might sound hypocritical because I hate Alec Burks so much. I mean, why I like Oubre. The difference is Oubre gives a shit. I think Alec Burks does not care. And I know it's hard to describe. They have a lot of similarities, but for whatever reason, and Oubre has a different unique skill set. Anyway.
Oubre is a wing, which I think matters more in the lit, right? I mean, we've said not to say that
he's an athletic
elite,
wing compared
wing.
To a guard that will run the offense through himself.
Exactly. I think the wing, him being 6'7", whatever he is, you know, being a wing is huge. It just that alone gives you value, just the size.
Bring something the Sixers don't have. I'm not here to talk about Alec Burks. We'll move on to my boy Alec Burks. There will be another list we talk about later in the episode. I'm looking forward to that. It's actually going to take a bulk of this episode. So, all right, Buddy Hield. I said we'll talk about the new additions. We already sort of talked about campaign, so I guess we'll mostly just talk about Buddy Hield right here. He's been just lights out, phenomenal, perfect fit, and he doesn't even have Joel Embiid yet. He had his career high in assists. He's never had 10 assists in a game, which was kind of wild to me. I would have thought he hit that in Sacramento at some point, but he did not. Lights out shooter, can do a little bit with the ball in his hands, probably more so than any of the other shooters. Like, we keep bringing up Seth and JJ. Not to say that we don't watch any other players, but, you know, those guys are Sixers and seeing how they work here. Heald's just, he's had a little bit more on-ball stuff that I haven't really seen him do anywhere in the league. Now, granted, it's never like he's going to the rim. He still doesn't get fouled, but he's just a ridiculously good shooter. He can shoot from different angles. He can shoot mid-range shots. I know you would expect that, but it's not like he just shoots threes, even though that is his bread and butter. So the Buddy Heald experience has been A+. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think the biggest shocker with Buddy Heald is the fact that he can, like you said, really put it on the floor and actually create a little bit. That, for me, as not watching every Pacers game and following Buddy Heald around his career, knowing, yes, he's an elite shooter, which he's shown clearly a quick trigger, which we've needed ever since we've lost JJ and lost Seth and all the guys that we needed. I mean, but the thing that the dribbling alone and the way that he can create a shot for himself or around screens is remarkable. And, you know, I know they talk about gravity and with Steph Curry and the whole thing, but I really do think Buddy also provides that. That's not the same level, but still, he's a shooter and you have to pay attention to him, and you leave him open, he's going to hit it. And that's a refreshing thing to say with a Sixers player, which we really can't say often. So it's nice. And Buddy Heald's been a great trade.
Yeah. And he's not a complete stiff on the defensive end. He's not great, but he's not, you know, he's not a train wreck. And, I guess I'll lead to this. This would be my next question. At full health, assuming Melton's healthy, do you think, given how well Heald has played, and that you would think it would be even better with Embiid? Now, granted, the shots aren't always going to fall like they have been, but, I mean, they're still going to fall at a really high rate. Do you think he starts over Melton?
It's really tough because I am a big D-Melt guy. I'm a Melton fan. It depends how he comes back from injury number one. I assume they'll have limited minutes for him just when he originally comes back. And then I think Heald will most likely start over him. Now, come playoff time, I think it's matchup dependent, right? I mean, obviously, if you want defense out there, you're going to put Melton, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought initially, but who knows? Maybe he's just too good where you can bench him, or you can't bench him.
Yeah, that's I mean, Heald, if he's going to continue to average whatever he is, I mean, it feels like he's been up 20 a night at this point on consistent
22
shooting.
With the Sixers, seven and a half assists. Now, granted, one of them is a 10-assist game that he just had.
Small sample size. But once again, I mean, that's a guy that has proven throughout his career that he's an elite shooter in this league, and everyone knows it. And I mean, to have a guy out there with Embiid, I think he will be a starting caliber player, Buddy Heald, at least on the Sixers, even when Embiid comes back and even when Melton's healthy. So I guess that does bump him to the bench. I mean, you could run a small ball lineup, but
I was going to say, for whatever reason, I would bench Tobias Harris, come back to it.
Right.
Batum. Start Melton and just bench Tobias Harris.
Yeah. It's a small lineup, but hey, who knows? I mean, as long as he can be in the middle, it's all that matters. Yeah. We know that.
But I'm not trying to imply. Buddy he doesn't play like it. So he's bigger than what you would think if you just knew about how he played, though. Like he is a muscular kind of larger shooter. He's not built like some of these other guys. So once again, he doesn't play that way. So observation. I don't know. I don't know who you could stick him on depending on the matchup. I don't know who I would start. I still think I lean towards Melton as good as he's been. It's just like, I don't know. The Maxi Heald thing, I feel like, is just going to be picked apart in the playoffs on defense. But, I mean, it would be worth a shot to see. So, All right. We don't really have any more campaign thoughts, I don't think. I think he's going to be benched for Lowry, which I guess we didn't talk about. But Lowry, official to Philadelphia. I'm glad to have him. He's definitely an upgrade. I think this, you know, if we were talking about assessing how they did at the deadline last time, I think this just makes that Patrick Beverley move like an A. I mean, you basically just upgraded Patrick Beverley into two different types of players. I think Lowry's just a better version of Patrick Beverley, even at his wash state, and you got a second round pick out of it. So home run. I think from Daryl, I love Pat Bev, though. I do miss him, is all.
Yeah, no, I agree. They did a great job at the trade deadline. Looking forward to seeing Lowry suit up after the break, hopefully, and get some games under his belt before Big Fella comes back at some point, hopefully.
Yeah. We also talked about the fan perspective, and we were both pretty positive about the trade deadline. I think Patrick Beverley was our only disagreement, but of course now it's looking good for what
it's right fit.
We were talking about. And, you know, you are Sixth Man, so I like to bring the fan perspective. However, I want to bring up a fan that I write for the Sixers Sense. I sent you this one. I didn't tell you that I was going to mention this on the pod, but I decided, you know, we usually go for your comments, and I'm not trying to fight for anyone. But it is important to note that the Springer Club. We, of course, talked about how Ricky, you at least posted that Ricky Council against the Wizards basically had, I think Springer's career high in points is 12. And I know he's a defender primarily, but still, he's been in the league 3 years. Ricky Council has already usurped that quite a few times. And yes, of course, Ricky Council is not a great defender, but he is athletic. He's a worthwhile project, and they're around the same age. I think Council's a little bit older, which is kind of crazy considering Springer was drafted 3 years ago. But anyway, I wrote for the Sixth Sense. I wrote how Daryl did the deadline, and it's all the same stuff I said on the pod. So if you want to check it out, you can. However, someone got mad at me saying, here's the tweet. Both Nick Nurse and Doc Rivers said Springer is an elite-level defender. 6'4 and 205 pounds is not undersized. Let me just, so that was the beginning part of it. Let me just clarify. I said he was undersized in the article. I meant for the skill set that he has, because he's not a shooter. He's not a, you know, so he has to be tall, in my opinion. You don't really see perimeter flyers that can't shoot. That's partially why Zaire Smith, who did get signed recently, hasn't made it in the league. And I compared him to Zaire Smith, and I think that's a very apt comparison.
Yeah.
But he can only defend guards, and he has no guard skills on offense. So that's why I consider him undersized. Anyway, Lu Dort, Herb Jones, Bruce Brown, Josh Okogie, Gary Payton II, rotation players who he meant can't shoot, but he misspelled, but defend at a high level. Springer was worth the wait. All right, let me just address this, and I'll let you go first, because I know the Springer thing is really my side of the things. Lu Dort and Herb Jones are very good shooters. They sucked when they entered the league, but they were still better than what Springer is right now. They're like, I think Dior is shooting 38% on high volume, and I think Herb Jones is shooting like 41% from three. That is like elite shooting.
Elite, yeah.
He doesn't do it on super high volume, but great shooter. They're also better defenders and taller, whatever. Bruce Brown, I that's fine. If you want to use Bruce Brown as like an archetype, maybe. But I don't think Bruce Brown's like amazing. We mentioned how we weren't really interested in him. Maybe I'm just wrong. But he also has more like feel for offense. He's a really good cutter. In general, he's just better finisher around the rim. He just is a better offensive player. If you don't include the shooting, he's just better at everything Springer
does. Yeah. Yeah.
Josh Okogie is playing like 20 minutes a game on the Suns, who are playing Grayson Allen damn near 40 minutes a game because they have no guard. So I'm not going to consider him a rotation player. Gary Payton, also a good shooter. That's it. All I'm saying is, to the person replying, I understand that you throw those names out there, but people do not realize how bad of a shooter Jane Springer is. He's nowhere near any of those guys.
No, he's not. He's not. Percentage-wise, he's not. And just, I mean, yeah, he's not.
I test. He doesn't know where to go on the court, and he can't handle it all.
No, he doesn't have a feel for offense, yeah. Yeah, all I mean, like Bruce Brown, I get the comparison there, but yeah, other than that,
Bruce is the closest one.
Yeah, it's the closest one. Yeah, yeah.
And to that, I would say he's closer to Andre Roberson, which has always been my point, and shorter than Andre Roberson. He doesn't have any offensive game. And saying Springer was worth the wait, how much longer are we waiting here? A second round pick can help next year. We're trying to win with Joel Embiid. We got a couple years left for that.
James
Springer is
yep.
not going to help. Next year, he's going to be on an expiring deal. Who's to say if we would have gotten a second round pick for him at all? Even if he improved, he would then be an expiring, and then you'd have to pay him a big deal if he did improve. It's kind of like what happened with Thibel. So, end of rant. But I'm not going to talk about Jane Springer every week, but it is important to note that we are much more negative than the general consensus, and I see the argument. Maybe he can develop into Marcus Smart. However, if he develops into Marcus Smart, that's going to be like 8 years from now because he's
so... Yeah, Embiid will have one leg. Yes, correct, correct.
Yeah, I just think people don't realize how bad he is because Ricky Council's better right now, in my opinion. And so is Turquavion Smith. They're both because they can stay on the court because they're not unplayable on offense. Jaden Springer's unplayable on one end of the court.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I agree. And I think, once again, it goes back to timeline, right? If we're the Blazers, we're keeping Springer. Why? Because we have known where we're going. We're not going anywhere, right? We're waiting it out to see, hey, maybe next year he does develop. Okay, you know what? Oh, he didn't. All right, gone, whatever. Resign him. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. But timeline-wise, we are trying to maximize value. That's why you got bringing a guy like Kyle Lowry. That's why he signs here. Right, he's not going to sign with a non-contender because he's trying to win. That's why we're bringing in veterans. There's a reason for it. You know, you don't have time to sit here and wait for guys. And timeline is the key. It always is, and that's why they make trades based off the timeline.
And I get it because it's annoying. We've traded away so many of our young guys, like Isaiah Joe, and Isaiah Joe was ready to contribute right away. But like just others, we've given up on a lot. But the problem is we pissed away all the years of getting the young guys. It sucks, but we did it. We drafted TLC, we drafted Korkmaz, and I like Korkmaz, but you know,
not close to what.
Right. we missed out on players that we could have drafted. DeJounte Murray, I've been over it before. We don't have the time right now. And also the Springer thing, a thing that wasn't mentioned with that, it freed up a roster spot. And if we want to play Ricky Council in the playoffs, we have to convert him to a regular roster spot. Of course, signing Lowry takes one of those away. So we have two roster spots left. I think one of those has to go to Council. And I could argue the other one should go to Turquavion Smith anyway. And then you just sign, I guess, I think you can sign two-way guys again. I'm not too sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Would you, is there anyone in free agency you would think, like, I don't know, do you want another big for when Embiid's out? Like do you want to sign a Nerlens Noel or a Tony Bradley? I know we keep mentioning former Sixers, but I actually think there's some of the better bigs that are out there because there's no one really. Or someone to replace the Morris role. Is there anyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think
Gallinari got signed or is getting
Yeah,
signed.
I think they have enough wings at this point. Honestly, I'm fine with Turk just kind of being that other dude that they sign, hopefully, yeah. and just converting him his contract. But yeah, I mean, we don't need another big. I mean, yes, B-Ball Paul's fine and Mo Bamba's fine when healthy. I mean, right, the key is Joel Embiid. They have enough backups there. I mean, we're fine there. We're fine.
Yeah. People really don't like Bamba. I like him better. I know he's frustrating. He's not consistent. And Nick Nurse has talked about consistency, so I'm pretty sure he hates him. But they've actually gotten some pretty good minutes out of KJ Martin at the five, is I guess the other thing. And KJ can't shoot, and he's not really a five. So I think he's going to be gone after this year. But, you know,
it's athletic.
Fine. We're only playing him if Embiid's hurt. So whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Embiid's hurt going nowhere. So, yep.
Yeah, I mentioned Gallinari. I would have liked him, but when I guess I could see them signing like a Danny Green in case they think Covington's never going to come back, and maybe you can put Danny Green in a pinch where you trust him.
What's Covington's injury? What is it?
I think it's a knee injury, and he just hasn't been. Man. They've been very vague. I mean, Nick Nurse has said he doesn't really anticipate him. It's going to be a while. It's pretty bad. It's what it seems like. Anyway, hope Covington comes back because I actually think he would be very useful, especially now that Marcus Morris isn't here and there's not that loud jam. He could get consistent minutes if healthy, but I don't know. This team's going to be nice at full strength. If Embiid comes back, I mean, because we look fair, even though there's been some losses, like I said, I think it's 2-2 in the most recent games and they haven't really been great teams though. The Cavs and the Heat are solid. Cavs are really good, but I don't know. Buddy with Joel is going to be awesome. And then once they get Melton and then Batum back, I mean, those guys are both huge, more so Batum, but Milton's very good in his own right too. So I'm excited for them coming back. Hopefully this all-star break, which is why we're doing the pod, gives them time to heal up. So, anything else you're looking forward to in terms of Sixers at full strength?
No, I think they have the deepest team Joel Embiid has been a part of. Totally definitely agree. Not the most star heavy, probably the least star heavy. When you look at the top.
Because, and that's why they're struggling so hard without.
Correct. You don't have a Harden or a Butler or whatever, someone else to carry the load when Embiid is out, and that's tough. And you're seeing, yeah, Tyrese Maxey can do it as much as he can, but at some point you need more than just one, as we know, to win in this league. And Sixers at full strength are going to be a problem. If Joel Embiid is 95 to 90%, whatever it is, they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. But it all starts with the big man, or none of these conversations even matter if he is not back in time, which I think he will be for playoffs. But yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to move on to what I think is going to be the rest of this time. So that's the end of Sixers talk, though. We're going to have some brief Sixers talk. Right, I'll start from the beginning in case anyone just wants to tune in for that. We're going to be talking about Bill Simmons' trade value rankings and just critiquing them because they are terrible.
There's some really bad ones.
But it's fun. So that's why we're going to do it. I respect Bill for doing it in some respect, but rants are fun. Let's real quick. I know we're going to talk about the Embiid part of this. He's really low for what he should be. So let me start with Maxey, actually. So I criticize these rankings. I think Tyrese Maxey's almost perfectly placed. Is there anyone, and we'll probably get to it as we critique, because I brought up I have written down my biggest critiques. Right. Is there anyone below Tyrese Maxey you would take over him? I know I didn't really prepare you with this one, so I'll give my answers to start if that works for you.
Go ahead.
Highly recommend if you're listening to the podcast to pull it up because, of course, he's just ranking them. I guess this is objective trade value, but I think it's interesting to be obviously to some teams, different things are more valuable. I don't know really where he's basing this out of, and that's why I think he gets in trouble by putting these guys in tiers because some guys are like, yes, they're similar kind of players, but they also, whatever. Below Maxey, there's only definitively one player I would take, and it's one of my biggest issues I have with this list. I would 1,000% take mm-hmm. Ja Morant, mm-hmm. who he has at 32, yep. and he has two tiers below Tyrese Maxey, which I think that the tiers are probably going to be what I'm focusing on. I'm not going to quibble if a guy's like two spots below him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I would 1,000% take Ja Morant. I think that's the dumbest thing. I get it. He has his concerns, but Ja Morant is like one of the 10 best players in the league. He's young. Yes, he's going to be getting a max deal, but he's actually worth a max deal, unlike some of these guys that are about to get max deals. I don't know. I think, you know, Maxey, while being a better shooter, Morant is just a way better passer and just a better scorer at the rim. He provides above the rim sort of finishing that Maxey doesn't have. This isn't to be negative towards Maxey. He's an incredible player, obviously. Like I said, 22, I think, is very fair. But you are out of your mind if you think Ja Morant. Oh, I'm not going to say to Maxey. You're out of your mind if you think Ja Morant's the 32nd ranked player.
Correct. I agree.
Do you have anyone that you see? I have three other potential ones.
Definitely Ja. I agree with that. Jalen Brown's another name there that I would absolutely have.
Over Maxey?
I would consider Jalen Brown over Maxey.
Really? Okay, yeah. I disagree because that contract, I think, is horrendous.
The contract is bad, but I mean, Maxey's going to get paid. Not that much.
Yeah, but he's not going to be making like $60 million soon.
No, he's not. Jalen Brown, just player's skill set. I mean, not, to have a wing that's an elite 3-and-D and can also create. I mean, like, I don't know. I like Jalen Brown. No left hand. I like Jalen Brown.
Would you rather have Jalen Brown than Mikal Bridges? Because Bridges is listed lower. I'd rather have Mikal. Mikal makes a lot less money, and I think he does similar stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, Bridges is down there. Wow, he had Bridges lower, too. Oh, my gosh. I'm just really scrolling through this. Yeah, I mean, there's some shock. Yeah, I mean, like, I get some of the older guys. Like, LeBron is super low, but it's LeBron, and he's old, so I get some.
Right, would you do that, though? Because, like, I probably would. Well, also, LeBron's hard to talk about because he's on an expiring deal.
Yeah, and it's like, what are you giving up?
I wouldn't trade Maxey for LeBron on an expiring.
Correct. Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's something that's tough, but I don't know. You're just looking at the players. I mean, Brown's one of the guys that I think is a little low just in general. I don't know if I would trade him for Maxey, but yeah.
We can talk. So pretty much just Jalen Brown comes to mind. Anyone else? Because like I can rattle off.
That are lower than him, you're saying?
Yeah. One of these guys I know we disagree on. He's literally the only guy we know that we disagree on because we didn't really talk about this before.
Brandon Miller.
I was going to say that for later. Apparently, so he has Brandon Miller at 29, which you thought was absurdly high. Brandon Miller's been on fire recently, and granted, it's like a 16-game sample size of him just being insane. But I don't know. He looks like Paul George out there, and he's on his first year of his rookie contract. I think he's only going to get better. The defense isn't where you want to see it right now, but he shows flashes of that. He's like huge. I just think the reason why I have Miller listed on here and a few other guys, it's hard to find Brandon Millers. It's hard to find those two-way wings that can shoot. So what's your issue with Brandon Miller being high, you know, you deem high?
I have a guy that I think is fairly underrated here and that he's ranked in 52 and Scotty Barnes.
That was the way too other low. Absurd one. I mean, I have him listed. I think I might take Scotty Barnes.
54. What are we doing?
I had both those guys I both had listed. As guys I would potentially trade for Maxey. Would you rather have Maxey than them?
I mean, no.
I think it's close.
No.
It's definitely not as far as Bill Simmons makes it. It's not 30 spots.
No, it's not 30 spots. I mean, it's very close. Like if I woke up and that trade happened overnight, I wouldn't be like, damn, we just lost that big time. Like they're very, obviously different players versus LaMelo. Everyone's a different skill set there in some right. But yeah, I mean, they're all in the same playing field, in my opinion. No one's absurdly better or worse than each other.
I think Barnes, I might say yes. Like, and it would never happen. But Barnes, like, all right, he's got the playmaking. Him and Maxey playmaking, I think, is relatively the same. And then Barnes, this kind of goes back to the Brandon Miller argument. He's 6'8", 220. He plays elite defense. And he's a good scorer, and he's improved every year, and he's gotten a lot better as a shooter. I think Scotty Barnes is criminally underrated on this list, and he's also cheaper for one more year, if you care about that. Like, he only makes $10 million next year. Then he's going to get paid. But, yeah, Barnes being that low and as well as LaMelo, I think I'd rather have Maxey than LaMelo just because, although it's hard to find a guard like that, LaMelo has similar issues as Maxey. Maxey's just a better shooter, though I do think LaMelo's a better passer. He is also very turnover prone. So I'm not like, that one's definitely like questionable, but it's not as, the difference that Bill has is just insane.
There's two other guys that I see that are super low that should be higher. Do you want to get into this now? Or are we?
Would you trade him for Maxey? Because that's why I'd like to focus. We'll do the Sixers.
Would consider number 74 Tyler Hero.
You would consider Hero for Maxey?
I wouldn't probably do it straight up, but I just think he's extremely underrated.
Okay, fair enough. But I think I
just had to get that off my chest. I can't believe he's 74. I mean, there's just the amount of guys that are just
he's not a guy I had, but I mean, I guess I don't want to get, once again, I want to save the Sixers portion of it. So yeah. Those were the only guys I had, but I don't know. I thought Maxey's value was really fair. Now we'll get to Embiid, which all right, so he has Embiid 12. I want to go the opposite way because I assume there's no one below Embiid you would trade Embiid for. Like, for instance, he has Jalen Brunson 13. We're not,
No.
All right. The guys above him, I'm not going to quibble. Once again, the tiers, I'm not going to quibble too much about. I think having Steph Curry, who is 6 years older and makes more money per year and has looked worse this year, I think having him above Embiid is pretty insane. I have an issue with how high Curry is and compared to similar archetypes of players. But once again, that's in the same tier. He's only one spot above, so I'm not going to quibble too much. However, and you, I assume you think similarly, he has Paolo Banchero at number 8 and Anthony Edwards at number 7. And that's a full tier above Joel Embiid. If we traded Joel Embiid for Paolo Banchero or Anthony Edwards, I would no longer root for the Sixers.
Yeah, I mean, we would not be a playoff team. Yeah, I mean, it's just we would probably be in the play-in, and if not worse. I mean, like,
and I know it's because they're young, but so like not necessarily the play-in thing. But what are the odds Anthony Edwards or Paolo Banchero ever becomes as good as Joel Embiid is?
That's what I was just going to say. They're never going to. The chances are extreme. I mean, I like Edwards a little bit more than Paolo, but either way, I still think neither of them are going to. I mean, that you're talking MVP. There's not many guys that win that, and they're ever. It's just not. I mean, it's hard level to reach, man. Like, there's the only guy on this level of Embiid is Jokic and Giannis, which, well, yeah.
Yeah. And just going back to Bill's logic, I know Embiid hasn't done it before, and that's probably what he's going off of, as well as the age. Injuries. However, he has Jokic 1 and he has Giannis 2. I don't think there's an insane gap as he's making it between those guys. He then has Luka 3 and 4, which I would agree, Luka and Wemby 3 and 4, which I agree with. I think those guys are right there. I honestly could argue them over Giannis just because of age, and maybe it's just different preferences, whatever it may be. But I just think those guys are so clearly going to run the league soon. You could argue Giannis and Jokic run it now, but so does Embiid. So why is he so much
correct? Correct. Yeah, like that. It is, once again, goes back to timeline. Like, if you're gonna, let's just say the Sixers theoretically wanted to blow it up and they traded whatever Embiid for Victor, like, yeah, we'd be devastated, but at the same time, like, you're just hitting the hard reset button, basically. Like, yes, they're a worse team because Victor's not there yet, but you're trading for upside, which, like, Victor's gonna be a superstar.
I would trade Embiid for Victor Wembanyama, if I'm being honest. He's just
that you just hit the hard reset button. All right, you gotta wait another 5-6 years for them to whatever it
is. Yeah, but in 5-6 years, he's 25 and 26, and he's correct. You know, like, he's better at age 20 than Embiid was. At age 20, Embiid wasn't playing NBA basketball
yet. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. So, you know, it all depends on how long you want to wait. I mean, that's the biggest thing is development. And I mean, Luka, obviously at 24, is one of the best players in the league. And that's a guy that, I mean, he's ranked properly. But Embiid being lower than Booker's ridiculous, lower than Steph's absurd. I love Halliburton. Halliburton is about 2 tiers below Embiid in real life.
I think Halliburton's a really good, and I actually think he's a little low. I don't understand Halliburton being a tier lower than Paolo and Edwards.
I don't get that. Yeah, I don't get that.
And once again,
it's trade value. So it's not like right? I mean, it's that's the
no, I understand. But Halliburton, he was a year older than Anthony Edwards, and has better stats than Anthony Edwards. I think he's better than Anthony Edwards, to be completely honest. And it's crazy how much I've become a Halliburton guy. But he's just a cheat code in terms of how he runs an offense. He averages 11.7 assists and 2.4 turnovers. He's just not very turnover prone. Shoots 8 threes a game, shoots damn near 40%. I think Halliburton's amazing. I'm not going to quibble too much, but because he only has them a spot below those guys, but he has them in a different tier. I want to talk about the Edwards thing a little bit more. I should also note the other players he has above Embiid are Shea and Tatum, which, like, is fine. I'm not going to disagree with that. Shea's an MVP candidate now. He's 25. He doesn't have injury concerns. I understand. Tatum, similar thing. He's younger. Awesome. Whatever. Two-way wings are hard to find. Edwards, I think we've anointed Anthony Edwards as a group, and I don't dislike the man. He's entertaining as hell, and that's why I think he is overrated. But, like... Huh. He's a scorer that averages 26 points a game, which while that's a decent amount, like, he's primarily known for scoring. Shea Gilgeous averages five more a game than Anthony Edwards, and that's not, like, necessarily his calling card. Right now, Anthony Edwards is averaging the 12th most points per game in the league. Meanwhile, guys like Trae Young are way lower on this list. De'Aaron Fox is lower on this list, and I know both those guys are a little bit older, but they're not. It's not crazy. You know, Booker's lower on the list. Jalen Brunson's lower on the list. And once again, I agree with that. But Curry, KD, and then Donovan Mitchell, who is not that much. He is a better, a definitely, definitively better scorer right now. He is also lower on the list by a lot. So I just think Edwards, like, realistically, what do you think the difference is between those two in real life, Mitchell and?
Well, I think you look directly at his age. That's the reason. I mean, that's the only reason why. I think if what's his name? If Mitchell was 22 and Edwards
only
was 27,
though, and like I get it. Edwards should be higher. I'm not saying he's not, but like, in a couple of years, how much better is he really going to be than Donovan Mitchell is right now?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like we said that about Embiid, right? And he just kept getting better, which is kind of scary to say. But yes, for sure. I mean, I agree. I agree with the scoring aspect where I'm going to say he's one-dimensional. He's a good defender, and obviously scoring's his calling card, where like he's not really going to get a bunch of assists and be an elite passer. That's not what Edwards' skill is, right? He posterizes people and can do it all on offense. And I don't know. I understand why he's higher ranked, just because of I think that, not that he's, I mean, Mitchell's a little undersized, but it really hasn't affected him in his career that much. I mean, he's 6'1 versus 6'4.
I get it. I'm just saying, like, Edwards is a good scorer, but he's not an elite scorer. And that's really all he does at a very high level. He's a good shooter. Like, he's obviously should be very high on this list. I just think it's absurdly high to have him above these guys that score and do other stuff. And while he's young, I think one of the biggest mistakes we do, and this is, and I'm going to talk, there's actually a few younger guys I have on here, so I'm not trying to be a hypocrite, but I think Bill is actually doing this even more, is that we assume guys are going to get better, and like that's a fair assumption, but progression's not linear. It might be a few years for, like, Edwards might have plateaued for all I know.
Having
him here is a huge risk, I feel like. Like, if you were to say right now, like, you know what, I know Joel Embiid's, and I guess Embiid's not the best example. Let me just say, like, Kevin Durant. I would also take Edwards over him. I'm just saying, like, someone like that you know is way better than Anthony Edwards right now, and then just assuming that he's going to get to that level in a few years, I think is dangerous. And same with Paolo Banchero.
It's all fair points. I do want to point out, unless we'll get there, unless you're waiting, I was going to point out a guy that didn't even make the list that is far. It's just bad. He didn't have it on there, but unless you want to wait.
Did he have it in honorable mention? No, I'm ready to move on from that discussion.
Jalen Green did make the list?
Yeah, he has him as honorable mention. All right, so
go ahead.
No,
you go into this. That's your boy.
He is my boy. No, yeah, but that's actually the thing. I'm actually going to argue again, like, the devil's advocate. I like Jalen Green, but he kind of looks like Jordan Clarkson so far, in a way. He's had a really rough year. Give me your thoughts on Jalen. I agree that he should be on here, at least in favor of some of these people.
However, I was going to say, like, I mean, I don't Cason think like Wallace really over Jalen Green. Like, I'm just saying, like,
right. And Cason Wallace, who is a really good defender, but doesn't really do much else. And Green's been good recently.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the guys like right the first tier there, the upside gang. Like, just looking at that. I mean, Josh Giddey, which is having another down year. I mean, he's averaging 11 points. Jesus.
Do we want to have a Josh Giddey discussion right now? All right.
Killed me in fantasy. Uh-oh, yeah, I'm ready for the Josh Giddey talk.
You definitely did. All right, real quick on Jalen Green, just because we want to talk about it. I called him Jordan Clarkson. He's shooting 41% from the field and 30% from three, which is really rough. However, I do believe in his athletic profile. He's shown it from time to time. It's just, you know, inconsistencies. I can see why Bill didn't have him. I still believe in Jalen Green, but it's tough. All right, Josh Giddey is like one of the worst rotation players in the league this year. He is just offensively inept. And it's hilarious. It's kind of like the Masai thing where I always mention, and Al Grant, Bill's not a GM. Yeah. It's like the Masai thing where I always mention he could have had Tyrese Maxey for an expiring Kyle Lowry and chose not to. Bill Simmons, before the year started, said he would not include Josh Giddey in a trade for Joel Embiid, and now has him ranked 75th, which is hilarious. Giddey looks like
that is insane.
Shit on offense, and there's, you know. We talked about Morant, who has potential character concerns. I think Giddey's are a lot more alarming, to put it lightly.
Yeah, correct.
You give me your thoughts on Giddey.
No, I agree with the off the court stuff. Absolutely, I think no one can deny that.
might be long in prison. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with Josh Giddey, but his name is off the court stuff is dissipated a little bit, but yeah, still not great there. Never want to see that character issues come up. But yeah, I mean, I agree. Definitely should not be over Jalen Green. Bradley Beal is interesting, I guess, because of the injuries and the kind of,
well, his contract. I actually think Bradley Beal does not deserve to be on here. I think he sucks. And I think his contract sucks. I don't even think he should be in toughest admissions, to be honest.
What about Emmanuel Quickly?
Shaden
Sharp and those guys.
Shaden Sharp, I agree with. So I'll get to them quickly. I want to work from the more so to the top, and then we'll go down. Yeah. If that works with you, I just want to talk about Giddey just real quick too. He is known for his passing and playmaking. He's averaging 4.5 assists and 2 turnovers a game.
Don't remind me. Thank you. No, it's terrible. Right.
He's having a bad year, but it's not like, noticeably worse. Anyway, I want to get to the next guy. So I briefly alluded to it, but what do you think about Steph being, and I know I'm the anti-Steph guy, but he has Steph 11. And we mentioned the Joel Embiid thing, yada, yada, yada. However, he has LeBron, 39, and Damian Lillard, 40. Do you think those guys are noticeably, at this current moment, are like that much worse than Steph, where Steph is like an untouchable, and then like these guys are like in a more tradable realm, at least according to his rankings? Like, what are your thoughts?
No, not at all. I disagree with that.
You guys don't get the logic.
Yeah, no, I don't think. Yeah, because I mean, the ages are very similar, and you go with the contracts, they're all similar-ish. The fact that Steph is ranked 30 spots ahead is ridiculous. I know he's the greatest shooter of all time.
And
you got to give him credit. Yeah, a couple tiers, which is absurd to have him in the untouchable group, because to have Dame, I mean, if I'm a Bucks fan, I consider Dame untouchable right now, or at least not untouchable unless there's an amazing trade package there, but you're not trading Dame. Unless you're getting another star caliber player back. So yeah, to have Steph 30 spots ahead is ridiculous. Same thing with LeBron. I know LeBron's old, but LeBron's still
I'd rather have LeBron in the playoffs right now than Curry. I don't know what you think.
The Warriors look, I mean, part of it is their rotation, the players around them, and how
it's not Steph's
play
fault
this year.
And it's not his
fault.
Steph.
No,
it's not
Steph's fault. But the team does not look the same. Yeah. And I mean, part of it, obviously he's a big factor there, and he's having an okay year, solid once again. I mean, averaging 28 points, 42% from three, like he's having a good year. He absolutely is. Not maybe not Steph Curry good year.
It just speaks
to
how good his teammates were previously, and they're no longer that good.
Correct.
Because Steph has remained relatively the same. Everyone else has gotten worse.
Yeah, if they were the one seed, we would be like, well, it'd be a little bit different. So you know,
And I think that's the trouble Bill Simmons gets into, is that he puts these guys that are on winning teams, and he has like the brain of a child, where he can't imagine if they were on a losing team or vice versa. If one of these players like LaMelo Ball, like if you put LaMelo Ball, let's say you traded him for, I think he has him above him. Let's say you traded him for Rudy Gobert, because the Timberwolves kind of need a point guard and they already have Towns. That's just the first example I thought of. Do we really think they would be like worse, like much worse? I mean, I guess Gobert does anchor things defensively and they have been good, but it's just like, it seems so, and you know, you could use a different example too, because maybe you think Rudy Gobert is too important to them on defense. But like, I don't know, like Desmond Bane, he has above him. Like Desmond, the Grizzlies have been terrible. Like, I don't know. So I just think that's an interesting part. All right. Do you have any more on Brandon Miller? Because I know that I thought that was low, especially considering the tiers. Like, I just want to point this in perspective.
I mean, I don't think it's outrageous. I don't think it's outrageous, but I understand it. And I mean, like, yes, he's had a very good stretch. I just think sample size is real.
All right. So Lauri Markkanen, he has 23 and two tiers above Brandon Miller. I think if the Utah Jazz traded Lauri Markkanen for Brandon Miller, people would be like, oh my God, Danny Ainge. And that's not just a knee-jerk reaction. That would be legit. You got the number 2 pick in the draft for a guy that was like kind of a has-been as a one-time all-star. I don't know if he made it this year. And while he is a good player and he's on a good contract for the next 2 years, then you got to max him. And then that discussion is going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they gave 27-year-old Lauri Markkanen that much money is all. I don't know.
A fair point. It's a fair point. Yeah. I mean, I think, well, that's why I'm confused with Bill Simmons' rankings here, where he's like, yeah, because you look at the trading and the actual age difference there is remarkable. And then the contracts you have to factor in too. Like that's
Miller's on a better contract.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's much younger and he's ascending and he's a two-way guy, where Lauri Markkanen might have might be at his peak, and he's only under, I don't know. Like, it just seems like, I don't actually believe, I think Bill Simmons thinks this way in his head, but also if some of these trades went down where, another one, I'm just going to give another one. He has Jamal Murray a tier above, and Jamal Murray, who's never been an all-star, he has a tier above and a couple spots higher than Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant. And Anthony Davis, if you want. I don't love Davis, but if you included them in there. If any of those guys got traded for Jamal Murray, we would be like, oh my God, what are the Lakers, Clippers, or Suns doing?
I did see Jamal a little way too high. I don't know what that
is. He's never been an all-star team. He has a 15 and under the untouchables tier.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because Jamal's a very good player. I think he is low-key underrated.
He's great in the playoffs. I'll give it to him. And he's good at regular season.
He's great in the playoffs. The Nuggets are an amazing fit
team.
He's
not the 15th most valuable player in the league, though.
No, he's not. I mean, there's the guys. Come on, Kevin Durant. Like you said, Kevin Durant 17. Stop it. Like, we all know Kevin Durant's a better player than Jamal Murray. No one's
Nuggets in the finals again if they got Kevin Durant for Jamal Murray.
Yeah. Oh my God, please. I mean, automatically, even Fox, which is the 19, I take Fox over Murray in a heartbeat. So it's
really
just,
okay. I think I like him better too, but I think I'm a huge Fox guy is the difference. But
yeah,
I mean, Murray's done it before, so I'm not going to be too mad at that, but I'm just saying, like, some of these, I'm like, do this in your mind. If they,
but even like, look at Chet, like, would like Chet for Murray, would you write Chet's 21, a different tier, and then Jamal Murray's higher, right? Like, would you trade? Right. I mean, like, come on, things like that. It's just crazy. I mean, Chet's upside compared to Jamal Murray is ridiculous.
Even same with Maxey, as we were talking about. I'd rather have Tyrese Maxey than, I'd be so mad if we, and I know we're biased, but like, I'd be like,
yeah,
yo, we have this ascending guy who does a lot of the same things as Jamal Murray and is currently an all-star and is younger, or we can have Jamal Murray. Like, it's just because he's seen the Nuggets win a championship and he's like, guy's good. Like, he has a lot of recency bias. I remember a couple years ago, he talked about, like, you know, Kawhi Leonard being after they won, he was like, yeah, Kawhi Leonard's the best player in the league, not over Giannis, over Jokic, over all these guys. I'm like, I get it, but like, he also didn't look that great the next year anyway.
Yep.
All right, do you have any specific one? I got some others, but do you have any specific ones if you want to do some back and forth, or
just anywhere along the list you're saying? I mean,
sure. I mean, I have one as well, but
you go first.
Domantas Sabonis, he has above LeBron as well. I'm not sure if Sabonis is
a beast.
He's going to be making $42 million next year. He has Domantas Sabonis above LeBron, Jalen Murray. That'll probably be a player in a few years because everyone's named Jalen. Jalen Brown,
yeah.
Dame, all those guys. I know we talked about them briefly. Cade Cunningham, if the Pistons got traded Cade Cunningham for Domantas Sabonis, I think everybody would lose their mind.
Yeah, no, it doesn't add up. And that's why this is so hard to do a list, is you're never going to get it right when you have,
because what team perspective
whatever.
Are you coming from? But some of these are objectively terrible. I haven't even gotten to my biggest concern yet.
I'd like to hear your biggest one. I mean, I really would. You had like just an outlier, just like the worst one.
Well, actually, I think Ja 32
James
is probably,
Harden. Oh, no, yeah, Ja 32 is horrible.
It's right. Horrible. It's very close to James Harden, though. Fucking 45. He has Jared Allen. And in comparison, on the same team, he has Evan Mobley, 46. Evan Mobley is better than Jared Allen right now, and he was the number three pick. He's on a cheaper contract. What are we doing? Jared Allen is just like...
Jared Allen sucks. Jared Allen's not good. He's just like a center. He's just like a body. Yeah, just a dude. Like, I'd rather have Porzingis, like, he's 56. I'd rather have Kristaps any day.
I agree. Or just, you know, Jante
Murray or Jared Allen.
We talked about them before, but that entire tier, he has LaMelo Ball, Kyrie Irving, Scottie Barnes, Trae Young. Like, if any of those guys got traded for Jared Allen, like, do you really think the Cavs would be like, I know you're giving us Scottie Barnes, but we're going to need a first round pick because Jared Allen's more valuable. That's insane.
I don't get that at all. No, to have Jared, I skim right by that. I think it's just one of those things where you see and you're like, 45. Oh, yeah, Jared. Okay, nice, cool. To have him 45 and the players that are below him is absurd. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And this is him getting in trouble because he's like, he puts these guys in tiers and he's like, all right, these guys are on winning teams, but they're kind of role player-y. Like the players around Jared Allen are pretty similar, like Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle, Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon's also insane. Once again, if Scottie Barnes got traded for Aaron Gordon, I think the league would veto it, to be quite honest. Anyway, Derek White, like, I get it. They're good players on good teams. But can he not imagine what Scotty Barnes would look like on the Celtics instead of Derek White? Or what Scotty Barnes would look like on the Knicks
even
instead
a guy,
of Julius Randle? Like, I don't know.
Which, even a guy like, and I'm not a fan of him really. I know he plays one side of the ball, but Trae Young at 51.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. Like, maybe Gobert ahead of him, which, like, Trae Young's a better player. Julius Randle, I would rather have Trae Young just overall.
Right, me too. And
Trae Young. I mean, Aaron Gordon. Trae Young's a better player than Aaron Gordon, just straight up. He is. Once again, I understand he plays one side of the ball, but still. And Derek White is having an amazing season. Trae Young is better than him. Like, there, you could just go down the list. James Harden is old, and I know he's having a decent season with the Clippers and blah, 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 but I'd rather have Trae Young.
He's not the reason for their success, though. He's been fine, but he's not like the engine.
But I mean, even Sabonis ranked, was it 14 spots higher than Trae Young? Really?
Yeah, right. It's insanity. And also, like, just because we're talking about Aaron Gordon, he has Pascal Siakam, and I don't like Pascal Siakam. I'm not a guy. He has Pascal Siakam two tiers below Aaron Gordon. Do you think the Nuggets would be, A, do you think they would decline Pascal Siakam for Aaron Gordon? Do you think Aaron Gordon would get traded for 3 first-round picks? Do you think Aaron Gordon is... they're better with Aaron Gordon than they would be with Pascal Siakam.
I think
what does Aaron Gordon do that Siakam doesn't?
I think he's the greatest player we've ever seen is the problem, and people just don't appreciate Aaron Gordon enough is the problem.
He's just a worse Pascal Siakam. Like, he's a good cutter and a good defender. Pascal Siakam is a better cutter, better defender, like, better playmaker, better shooter. He's better at everything. And he's won a championship before.
What
are we doing here?
He's better. Now, a guy that I want to look at real quick that I think
I don't think
I got it right or wrong. I just think it's like a cool, like, to have him 28, I think is like, I didn't look at the guys around him. It's hard to compare, but Şengün, 28. I like that.
Oh, you think it's
I think
higher.
It's right. I think it's solid. I think it's a goodish rating. It's hard to compare.
I actually think you could argue it's low. I mean, he has Jaren Jackson above him. I think Şengün might be more of a guy to build around. I mean, even Bam Adebayo. I think Şengün's way better than Bam Adebayo right now, to be honest.
I like that take. Okay.
And same with Lauri Markkanen. Once again, if the Rockets traded, I keep going back to Lauri Markkanen, so maybe I should find another example. But if they did, he has Lauri Markkanen two tiers ahead. That's a little insane.
What about a guy? I don't watch a lot of Thunder basketball at all. Often, I know the guys.
They're fun to watch.
I know most of them. Jalen Williams at 20, is that right?
Do you think that's too high? Because I think that's pretty fair, to be honest. I think it's interesting that he put him above Chet.
Yeah, that's what I was confused about too. Chet, he's a better player than Maxey.
I mean, it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. It's harder to find a Jalen Williams than it is to find a Tyrese Maxey because he's like a two-way wing. He also shoots 45% from three. He's a good scorer, he's been on fire. He had a stretch where he was on fire. I like Jalen Williams, so I'm not going to criticize it too much. But I do think you could argue it's a little too high. Like, once again, Jalen Williams over Chet, I think. I like Williams better than Chet. I think I would disagree because if we're just talking about simple value, I mean, Chet's like an ascending, just number two pick, looks like a potential defensive player of the year, is a really smart, he's a good player.
Yeah, can shoot the ball 39% from three.
Like,
yeah.
It's really hard to find a Chet Holmgren, but I do like Williams a lot, so I'm not going to like necessarily argue that one. But I do think it's pretty high, and I could see someone else thinking that. I think Jaren Jackson 26 is really high. Once again, he has Jaren Jackson above Ja Morant. If anyone thinks their best player is Jaren Jackson, or most valuable. Insane to me. But what do you think? Because we talked about Morant a lot. I don't know. I actually think this one's fair. I shouldn't say fair, but like, I see why Zion Williamson is 33. What are your thoughts on that? Because you kind of just lump those two together because they're similarly, obviously, same draft, 1 and 2 overall, and both of off the court concerns. I think Zion's are a little bit more problematic because it looks like it affects his ability to be on the court. I know Ja was suspended because of it, but like Zion looks like he's just gets out of shape and, you know, he has some distractions going on in life.
I guess they can both prevent their off the court issues in a way. Respect it did in different.
Yeah,
Zion,
but my mind is, I think Ja's a little bit more fixable. You tell him not
correct. Yeah. Ja, it's like, let's get you a therapist, buddy, and you should be all right. I mean, it's harder to clean up the eating. And I mean, you really have to commit to it. And obviously Zion has not proved that at all in his career. He's having a better season, you know, this season than previous, but still, I mean, I think it's a fair rating. It's hard. They're in the right tier. I feel like,
I don't think Zion's super low. I just think like some teams, like I'm not sure. I'm not going to keep going back to Lowry marketing, but like, I'm not sure if, I'll try to find an example. Like, I don't know. Do the Thunder. I mean, I guess the Lowry market is my example because the other teams are contending, so I understand why they wouldn't. But like honestly, I think the Heat would probably trade Jimmy Butler for Zion. If I, just, like,
what about?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Would you do? I'm just looking like random name. Let's see. Zion is lower than Bridges.
Yeah, that's another one. Like the Nets aren't really going anywhere. I actually think that would make sense, honestly, for both teams.
Interesting.
But I think the Nets would say yes to that, and I think Zion probably is the more value. I don't know. It's interesting because Bridges is on a really good contract, and he's like really good right now. He's just safe.
Yeah, correct.
So like Zion's hard to put is what I would say. And that's why I think he just puts these guys in tiers, like Karl Anthony Towns, who's another one that is problematic. And I see why, but he's still a very good player, and he is better than Lowry Markkanen, which is funny because I've talked about the Sixers potentially trading for Lowry Markkanen, but like if they could have any of these guys, I would much rather be talking about them than Markkanen. It's just that I don't think Markkanen's as valuable as he does. Do you have anyone else that you would like to talk about? Because I guess I think we've probably there's definitely one guy that we haven't hit yet for me, or two.
No, let me hear. I mean, there's so many I can pick out, but let's hear what you have written down.
Because I'll get to the honorable mentions that I think should be on it. Because I would have all these guys that I list in honorable mentions. I would have all them over them. But I'll talk about this one first because this one's a little bit more absurd. And this is once again, Bill Simmons recency bias, whatever. He has Alex Caruso, 62. I like Alex Caruso. He's 29 years old. He kind of is what he is. He's got a couple years after this, I believe. I think he's got 2 years after this. Very good defender. He's basically DeAnthony Melton, but maybe a little bit better. He has the following players are below Caruso. And once again, he's on a much, you know, I'm not going to say these guys should definitely be above. I'm just going to list the names. Jrue Holiday makes a lot of money, so I understand it. DeMar DeRozan, expiring. I'd also rather have Caruso. But then he has guys like Jabari Smith. Jabari Smith was, once again, he was the third pick 2 years ago. And is an elite shooter and an ascending player. I don't love Jabari Smith, but I think you might have to argue him. Guys like if Keegan Murray got traded from him, I think that would be pretty insane. Anthony Simons, a few of these guys, I think. Herb Jones, I think, is just a better sort of. I don't know. Like, and then I'll talk about my notable or the guys he didn't put on here. But what do you think of Caruso being there?
No, I agree. I mean, you just named younger players that are as good, if not better than him, and then you give them a season or two, they will be better than him. So there's no reason, contract alone, I don't care. The players that you just named are significantly better and will be better. So there's no reason for Caruso to be that high or above, at least
he
above
also has
those guys. Which
even though these guys are above him, he has Caruso in the same tier as like Pascal Siakam, DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson, Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah, I mean, DeJounte Murray, I have him in a separate tier. And as much as I'm not a huge Siakam fan, we all know, I mean, Caruso's borderline role player, right?
Saw what Siakam got traded for. Like, he got traded for three first round picks.
We know the value.
Might be worth first round pick.
Bruce Brown, who's same level Caruso, in my banner.
Right. And he doesn't have Bruce Brown on the list, I'm pretty sure, which is. I don't know. It's just, and I know Bruce Brown makes a lot of money. I get it. Caruso's on a good contract. He's a good role player, but, and it does, the team situation changes. But I'm saying even some of these contenders, I think, would take some of the guys that he doesn't have the list over Caruso, not just because of their age or anything, but just, you know, even, I know we even joked about him being on the list, but like Cason Wallace might just be Alex Caruso in OKC. He just has a lesser role and he's younger. He's under contract longer and, you know, could get better. I don't know. Like, it just seems insane to me. I have another very similar guy, but this is just in terms of the omissions. Similarly, I think Austin Reeves being 73 is kind of insane. He has Austin Reeves above Tyler Hero. I know he makes less money.
I don't know.
Our hero's just way better.
Just a better player. Just a bad. I don't care. I at some point, who cares about the money? You need to win. You're trying to win.
Exactly.
You need to be a better player.
Contracts, once again, like.
They matter, but they don't. They matter. But like,
in a couple of years, then he's going to be expiring, and then it's going to be way lower. So
I don't get it.
All right. I want to get to the. We mentioned Jalen Green. He's another guy I think should have been on here, which, once again, if you went to the Rockets and said, we'll give you Caruso for Jalen Green, and the Rockets are kind of contending right now, not contending, but they're in the playoffs. They would laugh their asses off. that is whatever. So we mentioned Jalen Green. He's actually not the most notable one. This is my guy. And I know you're a huge Nova Nation. Cam Whitmore is just insane. Like, he's awesome.
You do love him. Yeah.
He's so cheap. He is basically he's just so young cheap. Mikal Bridges, and yeah. Not just the Nova thing. He's probably more athletic than Bridges is. And he's been a lethal shooter. He's been like the best player on the Rockets recently. I would have Cam Whitmore over, like, I would probably have him in the 50s somewhere.
That's okay.
And yeah. He doesn't have him on the list. So I think Cam Whitmore. We also, you briefly talked about him, Shaedon Sharpe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been great. Like, yeah, and I don't know, second player, whatever. Once again, if you put Shaedon Sharpe and you traded him for Caruso, it wouldn't be what the hell are the Blazers doing. It would also be that the Bulls are going to be better because they have Shaedon Sharpe, not Alex Caruso.
I mean, would you rather have Shaedon Sharpe or Naz Reid? Is that 7?
Right. Do I want the third center on the Timberwolves?
Yeah, right.
Or do
I mean,
want Shaedon Sharpe?
Yeah. So, like, I don't get that. Yeah. 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 There's a lot you can nitpick with this list, but yeah, there's some bad ones there.
No, I understand. But here's the thing. I'm keeping naming players that are younger and better. And with this next one, Trey Murphy. He's younger and better than, like, the guys that he has high on here because they're good right now. Like, Trey Murphy's just younger and he's better at these things. All right, and I think actually one of the more insane ones, Vassell, same thing. I think he'd be a really good role player, but I don't think Bill Simmons can see it because he's on the Spurs. I don't know your thoughts.
Say that again. I'm sorry, McCabber. What?
Vassell. Devin Vassell.
Where is he ranked on the list?
He's just not on there.
He's not on there at all?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't you think if Devin Vassell was on, you know, like he has Caruso 62, which I guess the Bulls aren't good either. But I mean, so Caruso, I don't really know why he has that.
I could replace Gobert in a heartbeat. I think he sucks.
Like, I don't know. Like yeah, Vassell's just a very good 3-and-D wing. Like, what are we doing here?
No, yeah, it's some of that is bad. Some of them are really, really bad. I don't know.
If Vassell was on the Lakers, he'd be better than Austin Reeves.
Correct. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think you just look at the team and they suck, and then it's decisions made off of the record.
All right. And then personally, my last one I want to go through. He has Scoot Henderson as an honorable mention. I know Scoot's been bad, but he was just the second pick overall. Once again, I know I'm throwing the same familiar names, but I'll throw in some different names. I like Cason Wallace, and I know we did talk about him. Cason Wallace was just the 10th pick. There's no way they would take, if they offered Cason Wallace for Scoot Henderson, no way the Blazers would do that. There's no way there's no way the Thunder would not do that. Like,
correct. Yeah, no, that's just bad. It's just, that's part of the list where there's just so many flaws in it where it's like, it's hard to even compare player to player, and I understand what he's doing, and I get the list and where he's coming from, but I mean, it's so hard because you have 75 guys on the list there, and you could always nitpick, hey, this guy at 74 is better than this guy at 61. It's just like, it's hard to have a list. That's why you really can't do a list, because not all the trade value is, it's just not equal. It's just not.
Yeah, it's just hard to judge from what team they're coming on, but it's still like, some of these things are there. I don't think there's any team that would take Jalen Suggs over Scoot Henderson. Like,
yeah. Suggs? Yeah, no, I don't think so. No, just because the straight up.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, literally that's it. I mean, just the straight ups, you're just banking on upside. And once again, we go back to timeline. It depends on the actual trade and who is trading for him. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Scoot Henderson's number 2 pick in the draft. You're taking him over whatever player in that level. Yeah.
It just, and I know, once again, talking about guys, you know, assuming guys are going to get better is one of the biggest mistakes you can make. And that's why I don't have, like, necessarily any young guy. But, like, my point is, especially with Jalen Suggs is a young guy that I assume Bill Simmons has on here because he'll think he'll get better. I know he's a really good perimeter defender right now, but we just talked about Jaden Springer for a while. He's better than Jaden Springer on offense, let me be clear. I actually kind of, we compared him, I think, to Murray. I'm blanking on Jamal Murray's name. We compared him to Jamal Murray before the draft. He's been a way better defender and a way worse offensive player before or since entering the league. I just think, like, I don't, the logic, he definitely just groups guys together and he definitely has this bias towards contenders and it doesn't really seem to be any logic. And then occasionally he just has guys he likes going back, like, just to sum everything up here. Like when he has Steph Curry 11 and then LeBron in the low 30s, like 38, 39 and lowered 40. Like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like this is kind of just a list of guys Bill Simmons likes, and he's a Celtics fan, so he sees it through a contender's lens. And I think that's kind of how he looks at it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to kind of look at this and be like, I don't know. I don't think the list is that serious. I mean, I get
no, I get it. I just thought it'd be fun to, you know, we talk about trade value all the time. And then.
No, it's true. That's the hardest thing in the NBA is to look at guys and just from a straight trade value perspective, it really is hard to be like, yes, this guy's worth exactly that. You just don't know. But it's interesting to go through the scenarios. And I think for a lot of it, like, there is definitely some truth to it as just going through the list. Like, yeah, these guys are worth that. And I think the top guys in the league or towards the top of the list there, you're seeing, and a lot of it does make sense. Yeah, to throw in Paolo at 8 and have John Morant way low is wrong, but right. That's okay, and everyone makes mistakes.
But it seems weird to publish this. And he also doesn't put any context because he doesn't really write anymore. He just has it. It's like, this is his list. And I know he talks about these guys on his podcast, but there's also, like, the logic doesn't maintain the same. Sometimes he'll have up there because of contract, but then he has a guy like Paul George, who I love Paul George, by the way. I think he's incredible. I think he's an underrated player. But Paul George in an expiring contract, and he has him 27. Like, Paul George could just leave. You can't tell me that Paul George has more value than, like, a franchise piece like John Morant, you know?
Yeah. No, I flat out agree. Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I think that'll wrap it up. Did you have any other things you want to talk about in this list for? Because I think we talked about most of it, but it's insane.
I think it's, I mean, hey, it was fun going through this. No, I mean, we could nitpick all day, but I think to have it where, I don't know, the top guys, like I said, the top guys are mainly right. Yeah, there's some major tweaks there I would add in, but for the most part, I think it's not the worst list I've ever seen, but there's a lot of flaws throughout. But yeah, I mean,
it's not the worst. In aggregate, I think it's fine. Like, if you just, like, the general trend of it's good. However, there's just insane outliers because I think Bill likes people, and then he also, once again, gets into trouble because he groups guys together. Like, he'll group a bunch of young guys together and then a bunch of older guys. And yes, is it sometimes hard to compare that? Sure. But some of them are just, like I said, he has the upside gang and then legit quality starters, where some of those guys in the upside gang are just straight up, like, undeniably more valuable than the guys that are quality starters right now. Great. That's all. So,
great.
All right. Well, that was fun. We'll wrap it up though on the trade list. We got some good feedback in terms of lists, so I feel like we wanted to talk about that. Plus, it's All-Star Weekend, so who knows what we'll do with the next list. I even though I did enjoy hating on our Sixers quite a bit, as did the audience. So, Maltz, where can they find you?
Yeah, right. As always, Sixers.mania on Instagram, PSF app, check us out. Always on there 24/7. Feel free to leave some comments. Maybe yours will be featured in the upcoming podcast. Who knows?
Yeah, of course. We didn't get to a comment today, but of course, you can read my stuff on SixerSense. And if you tweet at the article, I will talk about it because I do read them. But of course, follow Malt on all those platforms. You can follow me on Will Coffin on all social media platforms. But that's pretty much going to end it. So, until next time.